out to you today. You know, the Word of God says, choose you this day. Choose you this day. Do you want a blessing or do you want a curse? Do you want life or do you want death? Every day that you wake up with breath in your lungs, you are making that choice. That choice. So, we are going to minister this morning on restoration. Now, just to clear everything up, I put my pants on this morning the same way that y'all put yours on. One leg at a time. And I'm just a person, and so as a person, I'm going to open up to you and preach out of my life, because I can't preach out of y'all's life. You get offended and leave. But I'm going to preach out of my life and use it as an illustration for you. Last year, 4 or 5 months ago, how many of you women, your husbands can tell when there's something wrong with you? You're not real good fakers. Well, me too. Well, I was upset one evening, Bobby, and Frank goes, oh, what is the matter with you? And I was having a meltdown. How many of you have ever had a meltdown? All right, everybody with your hand down, you're lying. Because we've all had them, and we're all going to have some more of them, I'm sure, before we die. But I was having a meltdown, and I said, sweetheart, I just feel like. Now, let me explain something to you. Anytime that you're going to start out a sentence with, I just feel like, I want to explain something to you. Feelings are not facts. Okay? You can feel one way, and it just be a feeling. It's just a feeling. And feelings are going to come and feelings are going to go. And that's why we don't operate off of our feelings, the five senses, because we could feel one way 1 second and get a phone call and feel the complete opposite the next second. And I said, I just feel like I've lost so much. And I'm tired of losing. And then I began to name off the things that I felt like I had lost. Now, there's people in here, if you will allow God to get this word right into your heart, don't you be thinking about what you put in the crock pot or about anything else, because God would like to talk to you today. I said, I feel like these are the things that I've lost. And you know what? We got to quit looking at what we've lost, because God wants to make it up to you, but you have a part in restoration. Go with me now to Genesis chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 8 through 13. I hope that you brought your Bible with you this morning. And I'm going to read over several verses quickly, because I have a lot of verses this morning, and we're going to go to all of them, because I'm taking you to a place. And then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord. This is Adam and Eve. And they heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? And see, God is asking some people today, where are you? Where are you at? Where are you at in your life? Where are you at in your emotions? Where are you at in your recovery? Where are you at in your marriages? Where are you at with raising your kids? Where are you at in your business? Where are you at in your salvation? Where are you at? And it says, God among the trees, but the Lord God called to the man, where are you? And he answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid. And in verse 11, it says, and he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? Now, here they are. God gave them specific instructions. They went against the instruction of God. Anytime that you are going to go against the instruction of the living God, you're going to open a door. The Word of God says, now do not give the devil a foothold, but when you step out of line and you go against what God told you to do or what God told you not to do, you're going to open the door for the devil to get a foothold in. When the devil can get a foothold in, he's going to do one of three things, two of three things, or three of three things. And those three things are to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So that's what happens when we get out of line. Now, it's our human nature to get out of line. We were born out of line. Amen? And so the man says, we were afraid. We heard you, but we were naked. And God said, well, who told you you were naked? Did you eat from that tree, Adam? And so Adam says, when the word of God says there is nothing new under the sun, there ain't nothing new under the sun, because what took place here is still going on. We still getting blamed for everything, girls. It says, and he said, who told you you were naked? And the man said, now I want you to narrow in on this. God, at this point, Alyssa, he was not speaking to Eve. He was speaking to Adam. Eve was coming, but he was talking to Adam. And he speaks to Adam, and he says, did you eat from that tree? And the man said, see, can y'all see here where this was a yes or no question? How many of you, when you do something and you step out of line and God asks you why you done that dumb thing, you're giving God every excuse but just a yes or a no? See, God's not interested in anything a lot of times other than yes or no, because God needs to see where you're at. So Adam says, instead of yes, he says, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it. Not, yes, God, I did it, but God, that woman that you gave me, she made me do it, and she gave it to me. She fed it to me for supper. Okay, so right here is birthed the blame game. Okay, and we are still using it today, all of us. The blame game holds up restoration. Okay? The blame game holds up restoration in your life. Because until you can say, God, it was me. God, I did that. God ain't giving you all your goodies back if you're still saying, it was daddy's fault. It was mama's fault. It was my ex-husband's fault. It was this one's fault. I didn't get enough cookies when they were raising me. No. It was you. And it was me. Amen. And until we can do that, see, one of the things that Adam could not do in this moment was be honest with himself and to be honest with God. And that is still problems that we have here today. We have those problems. So here, he was not only blaming Eve, but he was blaming God. He was blaming two people. Well, God, you gave her to me. So it's your fault you gave her to me because she made me do wrong. And it was her fault that she made me eat it. How many of you know ain't nobody making you eat nothing? Go with me now to John chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 1 through 9. Where does your restoration really begin? We talked about it last week with communion. Here's our step towards restoration, is being able to say, God, it was me. It was me. I did it. I did it. John chapter 5, verse 1. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five colored colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. That's a long time to have a problem. Some of us have had problems longer than that. Some of us have had stuff taken from us through our own bad decisions, through our own fault, and it's been a long time. So here this invalid is. For 38 years, he's been in a disability. And in verse 6, it says, when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? Now, see, God wants to know here today, what do you want? Jesus did not say, do you need to be well? Would you like to? Is that your goal? What do you want? What do you want? What do you want out of your life? Have you gotten so used to the mediocre that you could not even fathom what God really has in your life for you? What do you want? And he asked him, what do you want? A lot of times when I'm asking people, they'll tell me all their problems. And I'll say, well, what do you want out of life? What do you want God to do in this situation? I have no idea. I don't know. Well, you better get to knowing. You better get to knowing what you want. And he asked him, do you want to get well? Verse 7, sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. And while I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Once again, here we are, blame. Blame. See, Jesus did not say, do you have help to get in the pool? That wasn't the question. The question was, do you want to get well? That's a yes or no question. Yes or no? His reply was, it is everybody else's fault. Every stinking time that it's time to go up in this pool, some other jerk gets ahead of me. They get in there before I can get in there. And it's everybody else's fault.
Hallelujah.
How many of you know people that every single time something happens, it is everybody else's fault? Okay, if you don't know somebody like that, you probably are that person. Okay? And you need to get some self-awareness.
Glory to God.
I dated a guy one time, very briefly, in my 20s. And he was not real bright. Because he got a DWI. Okay, we all know what that is. And I was just disgusted. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I've been dating this moron and he's got this DWI. How terrible. So I was giving him a talking to about how terrible I thought that was. Now, if you've been in here and you've got a DWI, you need to stop thinking that you need to be offended at me. I'm telling a personal story and it don't have nothing to do with you.
Glory to God.
Okay? Now, I was dating somebody and he got the DWI and I was trying to explain to him, well, you were drinking. And then you decided it was a great idea to drive, so you earned what you got, okay? And he said something, and I'll never, ever forget it, because I dumped him right after this. He said, every time I get a step up, I get kicked in the teeth. I said, you know what? We don't need to see each other no more. Look at your life. This is called evaluation. If we would do it more, we would be better off.
Amen.
Can you get to that place in your life where you're looking? See, I was at that place last year, and I began to look at my life, and yeah, I could name off things that I felt like were stolen. And I went back to that place, Sherry. And I prayed for a long time. And God began to show me places where it was me. And I said, God, I need to repent. Because, see, these things happened. And I had fault in them. God, I'm not even asking you to restore anything. God, I'm asking you to forgive me. Because, God, this wasn't you. This was me. This was on me, God. You know, a lot of times people, something bad will happen in their life, and they want to blame God. See, God is not the author of confusion, nor does he cause confusion. But we do. But we do. Can you see some places in your life where you need to say, you know what? I'm going to stop blaming this one. I'm going to stop blaming God. I'm going to stop blaming this. A portion of that at least was me. God, that was me. Now, some people won't agree with this, but like I said, I'm going to preach it out of my life. When I first became the pastor here, I don't hardly go to the bathroom here because I'm busy, okay? I'm a busy girl. When I get into this church, I got about a million things I think I need to do, and only I can do them, but I'm learning how to delegate. That's hard. But I don't hardly ever go to the bathroom. But one particular day, about 5 years ago, Alyssa, I went to the bathroom back here. I've been to the bathroom since, but you know. I go to the bathroom, and I heard in my heart, as clear as day, God said, Kelly, look at these bathrooms in this church. They need to be remodeled right now. We know where we're going, don't we, Sam? I thought, well, so I brought a couple people back there that I respect their opinions. I said, what do y'all think about the bathrooms? Well, you know, yeah, they do need to be remodeled, but, you know, we don't have to do that right now. I kept hearing God, and I went against God. And I tell you what, now y'all ain't going to like this, but I'm going to just tell you what happened to me. Amen. 2 weeks later, Miss Mary, 2 weeks later, flood, under the ground foundation leak. I had Steve Ellington back there, and he had literally, in the women's bathroom, we could see the dirt in the women's bathroom, and I could see only his head popping out of the hole he had to dig to fix it. And I walked in there, and he said, I'm going to go to drinking. I said, you know what? If I was a drinking woman, I would too, Steve. Are you? For 3 days, 3 days, that man dug and pilfered around, could not fix it. Walked in there on the third day, Steve's still going. And I heard God said, you know what? To obey is better than sacrifice. To obey what I told you to do would have been better than all the tears and all the grief and all the stress and all the anxiety and all the stuff that you've had to go through in the past 3 days, because that was also when the pandemic hit.
Glory to God. Amen.
Let me tell you something. The only move that I had to make right then and there was to say, God, should I get the paint and the flooring and the sinks from Lowe's or somewhere else?
Amen.
Give me some very clear instructions, because I don't want this to go on no more. This man here, Jesus said, what do you want? What do you want? And instead of just saying, I want to be healed, I want to be well, he said, it's everybody else's fault. It's everybody else's fault. Then Jesus said to him, so here's Jesus. He hears it. He knows it's nonsense. Jesus looked at him and he said, get up. Get up. Get up. And there's people under the sound of my voice. I don't know if you're in here watching it. However, whatever's going on, it's not really my issue. But some people, God is saying to you, get up. Get your butt up. You've been down too long. You've been feeling sorry for yourself too long. You've let the offense get you too long. You've let this depression get you in a bad place for too long. See, you've been down too long, and you're saying, it's everybody else's fault. Look here. Own it. Go on. Say, you know what, God? I'm going to do what you said. I'm going to get up. I'm just going to get up. How can I preach this? I've lived it. Brenda babe, about 5 years ago, I was in such a depression, I was stuck on the couch. I had always judged people that got depressed, till I did. And Brother Mike, I could not get myself up off of that couch for 3 days. God wasn't mean to me about that. I sat there and for 3 days wrestled. On the third day, God said, Kelly, all we're going to do today is get off the couch. But we're getting off of it. And we're going to stay off of it. Have I since then felt depression try to come on me? Absolutely. It comes on all of us, whether we want to admit it or not. You know, a lot of religious people, they don't want to admit that they got a problem. If more of us would say, I got some issues, we'd all be better. When I feel that trying to come on me, I lay hands over myself and I say, in the name of Jesus, spirit of depression, you'll not come here. What do you want? Go with me now to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to look at verse 11. God cannot restore what you ignore. Amen? God cannot restore what you ignore. If you can't say, God, I had my part in here, Lord, it was me, there's not a lot of restoration going to go on. First Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, when I became an adult, I put childish ways behind me. There's some ways that we can have, and they're childish. And we need to put those ways behind us. Behind us. Why? Because it's about time to grow up. When I first became a pastor, I thought, this is going to be breezy. This is going to be the easiest thing I ever did. Well, I gained about 50 pounds. It was not easy. It was not easy, and it was very stressful. Because I thought, I got a church full of people who have been saved for 30 years. They know what to do. I'm not going to have to... I didn't tell them nothing. It's going to be easy. It was not easy. Why? Because I've learned that the longer people are saved, they get out of line more than the new ones. Don't get all upset with me if you've been saved and get all whatever. I've been saved since I was 7 years old. I'm 38 years old. Sometimes I get out of line. Sometimes we forget what God brought us out of. There's some childish ways that we need to set behind us. Amen. Go with me now to Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. I've learned in my own life by observation of other people's lives that it's very important that we give the credit to where credit is due in the appropriate places. Amen? Wake up, know who you owe. One plus one is going to always be two. I failed in almost every math class I've ever had. I'm not a math person. But I know at the end of the day, one plus one is going to equal two. Don't ask me nothing else. That's probably the only thing I know. I'm not good at math, okay? Unless it's a sale, and then somehow my brain works great. Like, yeah, 10%, 50%, whoo! But there's times where we've goofed up, or we've made bad decisions, or we've made a wrong call in judgment, and one plus one's going to always equal two, and something happens because of the dumb decision we did, and then we're miserable. And then we say something real dumb. Now, this is very assertive preaching because I know that we all know what the word dumb means, and there's not another adjective to describe it. What do we say? Well, that old devil, he's after me. He's just, the devil's just really giving me a hard time. No. A lot of times we are giving the devil way too much credit because the devil didn't do nothing. That one bad decision and the other bad decision equaled a mess. And that wasn't the devil, that was us. And God's saying in here, see, this is not a condemning message. This is a let's think about our life and what direction it's going in message. What do you want out of life? Is there anything? See, there's days that I have, Lori, where if it's a really bad day, my mind will go to something, a painful experience that I've had. And I'll sit there, and on my bad days, Bobby, I will replay those things over and over till I'm mad or sad or whatever about them. And instead of being mad or sad about them, what I'm doing now is I'm saying, God, some of that was me. And I am reaping what I've sowed. When we are reaping what we've sowed, we don't need to be mad at God about that. That's just something that's inevitable. If I throw a ball up, it's going to come down. If you sow something bad, you're getting something bad. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. A man reaps what he sows. We reap what we sow. Go with me now to Romans chapter 14. We're going to look in verses 10 through 12. That's going to be in the King James Version for me. So what have we talked about so far? Accountability. The ability when God says, you know, how did this happen in your life? God, that was me. Now there's things that you're going to go through that the reason they happen is not because of you. But then there's other things, and the reason why we're going through it is because of ourselves. What does the Word say? If we judge ourselves, we wouldn't have to be judged. If we call our own selves on our own mess. When something bad happens, where do we go? When we get upset, do we say, oh? See, why are we talking about this today? I'm going to tell you why. Because there's very good folks that there's been something go on with your life and it's kept you in a place where you can't move forward because you haven't chosen the right path to move forward yet. There's times where we get stuck in life, something happened, and every time we have a bad day, every time something happens, we're right in that place. And we go back to that memory, we go back to that circumstance, we go back to that situation. I'm going to, once again, minister something out of my own life. One of the best things that a leader can have is the ability to say, I was wrong. I was wrong. Not only just a leader needs to be able to do that, but a person. I've gone into the home that I'm trying to sell many, many, many times and just poured my heart out to God. I don't know about y'all, but I'm not the most patient person. When I'm ready for something to happen, I'm ready for it to happen. And I was coming out of the bathroom downstairs of that home, Tanya. I was telling God, God, I'm sick of this. How many of you tell God when you're sick of something? God spoke some truth to me. And here's what the truth was. Now, this is going to be some hard preaching, but if you can grasp it, this kind of teaching will change your life. But it's going to involve a lot of I did it. Amen. It's telling God how sick of this situation I was. And he said, Kelly, you prayed and you asked me for this house. And I gave it to you. And now you're asking me to get rid of it. Stop asking me to do things for you that you're not going to appreciate, and you're just going to want to get rid of them when you're ready to get rid of them. See, some of the things that we've asked God for, he gave them to us. And we just, I'm done. I'm on to the next thing, God. Do I believe that a part of this is this just not, it hadn't been the right time yet? Yes, I do. But Tanya, there's a part where I got to own it. I got to own it. And I said, God, you're right. And I'm not going to blame you. God, help me. Teach me. See, sometimes we're asking God to do these big things for us, and God can see down the road some things. God is not going to be mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, a man's going to reap. Why is that important to your restoration? Because until you can say, God, what I'm going through right now is not because of anything other than myself, amen, then you're stuck. Amen. I don't like to be stuck. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1. What gets us unstuck? What gets us on the way to restoration? Ownership. Ownership. How do we own it? Confession. Confess. Confess, confess, confess. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, it doesn't say when we confess. It says, if we decide to. If we confess our sins, after that comma, there are some promises. He is faithful and he is just. If we choose to confess, Alyssa, he is faithful and he is just. How many of you believe in here this morning that you serve a very just God? Amen. Amen. How many of you got kids up in here? Let me tell you something. My little boys are the love of my life. I love those boys. I would do anything for them that I possibly could. To the point it drives Frank insane. He's like, you're giving them too much. You do too much for them. They're awful. They're spoiled. They're bad. They're brats. No. But look here. At the end of the day, Aunt Fran, they're mine. And when they're bad, I don't decide, Tyler, I'm going to stop feeding them for a day to teach them. That would be child abuse, right? If we confess our sins, Heather, God is faithful, but not only is he faithful, he's just. What is a just God? A God that's just says, you know what? Yes, my kid missed it. But I'm not going to sit there and for the next 10 years of their life punish them because they missed it. He's just. I believe that when we can own our lives, mountains move because very few people really own it. The Word of God says, straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and very few there be that find it. Why? Because a lot of people don't want to be lonely. That narrow way, Miss Sherry, is pretty lonely sometimes. Why? Well, some of it's because not a lot of people really like to say I was wrong, or I made a mistake, or how about this one? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know how many people cannot say I'm sorry or I did wrong? I made a mistake. I don't know about y'all, but I'm raising my kids right now, and I'll say, I'll get Carson, and I'll get them two little boys. I bet Kayla really has the time because she's got three of them, and I got my two, and they can be caught in the act of doing something. And I'm like, did you break those three things? Nope. But Mom, let me tell you what Colton did.
Glory to God.
And I'm going, I'm about to have a prison ministry because I'm about to choke you. That is the way so many of us are, though. We'll say, you know, God, I don't understand. I did this, and I'm really suffering, but so-and-so did this, and they're not, nothing happened to them bad. You know, God ain't doing the same thing with everybody that he's trying to do with you. It's like when your kid says, can I do something, and you say no, and they say, well, so-and-so's parents let them do it. Well, I don't know about y'all, but when I was growing up, my dad would say, I don't care what so-and-so's parent lets you do. They're not my kid. Own your life. Own it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Go with me now to Proverbs chapter 28. We're going to look at verse 13 and 14. So what do we need to do? We need to confess those sins. Confess them. Get them out. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13 and 14. He who conceals his sin does not prosper. He who covers their own sin will not prosper. Sometimes we've lost so much because we've been covering so much.
Amen.
Amen? Sometimes we've lost so much because we've covered up so much and just went around and thought, if I just keep putting this under the rug, eventually this is going to be okay. No, it won't. If it's wrong, it's wrong. It ain't going to be right after 10 years, 5 years, whatever. Proverbs 28, verse 13. He who conceals his sin does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Finds mercy. Confessing them and renouncing them. Confessing and renouncing. What does renouncing look like? You pull out a sin that you're having trouble with and you say, you know what, God? I have trouble with this area of my life. And right now, I renounce. And you name it off. I renounce this right now in Jesus' name. I cast it down. Every time I think about that I want to do it, every time that I'm tempted, I'm going to renounce it. I'm going to cast it down. I'm going to reject it. What does the word say? If you resist the devil, he will flee from you. Sometimes the issue and the holdup is that we have done no resisting at all.
Amen, that's the truth.
And we haven't confessed some things to God. And a lot of people, they haven't confessed them just because they're lazy Christians. Well, God knows my heart. Well, God knows I did that. I don't have to tell them. Yeah, you do. You do. Confession wouldn't be in the Bible so many times if you didn't have to. Confess it. Stop covering it. One of the healthiest things that we will ever do for our spirit man is confession. To confess those things. Get it out. Get it out. There's people, I have no doubt, and there's been sin in your life, and it's gone unconfessed, it's gone unrenounced. You've covered it. And every morning that you wake up, you feel something inside of your soul, and it feels like there's a wedge there between you and God. And you think, God, I just want to be close to you again. Let me tell you something. God wants to be close to you. Get that sin. Get it out of there. How do we get it out? Confess it. Confess it. Turn. Stop doing it. Renounce it. Go with me now to Psalms chapter 32. We're going to look at verse 1 through 5. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Now this is talking about covered by the blood of Jesus. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him and in whose spirit is no deceit. See, self-honesty is important and honesty with God is important. Verse 3, and here's David. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. See, when I didn't confess, when I didn't get it out, when I acted like it was fine, when I know that it wasn't, when I did that, my bones wasted it away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. You know what? It'll take all your energy just to cover that thing up. It'll take all the energy you got just to act like that wrong is really right. And then you feel sapped and you don't know why you don't have the energy to go and do something for God. Well, because you got your hands full covering that thing, that favorite sin up that we've been doing. But verse 5, then I acknowledged my sin to you. I acknowledged it. What does acknowledge mean? I recognized to you, God, that that was sin. Now we've all done this, and that's why I'm going to preach this. We've all been so tipped at somebody in our life at some point that we decided that we were going to treat them inhumanely and not acknowledge them. And it looks something like this. We're in Walmart and somebody's in our aisle and we cannot stand them and we're dodging them like the plague. And I've done that before. On my bad days, I'm going to tell you, I still do it. The pastor's got to be honest or there ain't no hope for nobody else. And Tanya, every time I do that, God sets me up. Because that person will turn in my aisle and then there I am. God, you know, I can't stand that person. Oh, God, help me, God. I don't like them. It's going to kill me just to acknowledge them. Going to literally kill me dead right here in the can aisle if I have to say hi to them. I just, God, I don't like them. On my bad days, Heather, I'll just walk right by them. Well, I'm not acknowledging them if I'm walking right by them. But on my good days, when I got my pastor shirt on and I'm trying to behave, I'll say, Sally Sue, how are you doing? I hope it's all going well with you. When I acknowledged my sin, when I didn't go just right past it, like it was nothing. But when I acknowledged it, when I acknowledged my sin and did not cover it up, then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to God. And God, you forgave me. See, does God really forgive? Yes, he does. There's people, and you've been saved so long, and you've done something, and you're sitting there saying, oh my God, I knew better, and I did that. God, do you really forgive? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. There's people, and you still feel guilty about what God already forgave. I'm going to say that one more time. There's people, and you still feel guilty about what God already forgave. I'm not even going to ask you to stand, but if that's you, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, because see, God wants you to walk out of here not feeling like that. God, in Jesus' name, for every hand up, Lord, they still feel guilt about some of the stuff that you've already forgiven. God, I ask you right now to give them peace about that in Jesus' name. God, I ask that every lie that the devil has told them about how you can't forgive them, God, you have already forgiven. So, Lord, I ask that you would cause that forgiveness to flow and that they can feel, God, that you've forgiven them in Jesus' name. When I confess, you forgave that sin and you forgave the guilt. Now, I'm going to speak for a moment on another thing that will hold up restoration in your life. We've talked about being able to own it. We've talked about confessing it. We've talked about not covering it up. We talk about something else. And I have learned over the past 5 years that I have a problem with this. And I know that there's other people that do. Sometimes, through no fault of our own, there's been things taken that the devil was able to steal because of other people's actions. And through no fault of our own, we've had to live through some battles through no fault of our own. Now, what happens to those kind of people when you go through something like that is you want to take and absorb guilt that does not belong to you. There's people, and maybe your family done something, and you feel so bad about it, you hold the guilt of what you didn't even do. There's people, you feel shame from something you didn't even cause. You didn't even do it. When my little first son, Carson, when he was in school, he was in St. Joseph's. And I love St. Joseph's. I sent him there for 3 years, pre-K. And they said, he's so smart that he's getting bored and causing trouble. So we want to put him in kindergarten half a day and in preschool the other half of the day. But we want him to be challenged. I said, by all means, please challenge that kid. Thank you. See, when somebody wants to do something with your kid, they take an interest in your kid, they want to help your kid come along, it's not a good time to get offended. If somebody takes the time to correct your kid, they probably love them to a degree. Amen. And you don't need to get all worked up about that. Now, that's taken me some time to understand that because I'm a mama bear. Carson Paul did something, and I'm not even going to repeat it, and that's how bad it is. When that kid was 5 years old, he done something that embarrassed me now. To this day, it embarrasses me. And he did something not once, but he did it twice. The first time he did it, they said, you're going to come get this kid right now. They were so hacked at that kid. We went and we got him, gave him a talking to. Oh, honey, you can't do that. Mm-mm. A week later, he did it again. I told his daddy, go get that kid. Do whatever the heck you think you need to, because I don't even know. I don't know why anybody would do this once, let alone twice. But I felt so bad that, Kayla, I called the principal. Because I was embarrassed up to the hilt and horrified and mortified by what this kid had done. And I felt bad. Now, that principle was one of the best principles because they told me something. To this day, I still use this advice. And the advice is this right here. I got on the phone with her, and I was telling her how sorry that I was. I said, look here, Christy, I'm going to make Carson Paul, he just had a birthday. I'm going to make him give up all of his Power Ranger money to replace what he messed up. She goes, you know what? I don't care what you do with Carson. Let's talk about you. I thought, oh, my God, he's really done something awful. Oh, no, I'm in trouble. She said, Kelly, I know that you've only been a parent for 5 years, but I'm going to give you some of the best advice. Stop apologizing for Carson. You're not the one that did this. She said, he should be just as upset as you are right now, and the problem is that he isn't. She said, but what I can tell you is you've got a lot more raising that you're going to have to do with this boy, and you're going to drive yourself crazy if every time he does something, you're the one apologizing. Stop apologizing for what he did. Sometimes the restoration that needs to happen in our life is held up because we're taking ownership and we're taking blame and we're taking guilt that doesn't even belong to us. And we feel the heaviness of that burden. And God's saying, I want to restore to you, but I can't do that because you can't even receive the blessing that I want to give you because you're holding all this luggage here. If you find yourself in those situations, begin to pray, Lord, I release this burden of this guilt right now. God, I've taken this on, and God, I did not do it. Lord, I release it to you right now in Jesus' name. Last place for me this morning, Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent then and turn to God. See, so many people say, Pastor Kelly, I don't know what to do. I'm reading it to you right now. Monday, I went to minister in the jail to the ladies, and one of them said, Pastor Kelly, does God really forgive me for what I did? Yes, he does. Repent then. What is repent? God, I'm sorry. God, it was me. God, it was me. Now, I'm not Catholic. I never will be Catholic. But I did marry a Catholic, and I'm not apologizing for that. This is an interdenominational church. If you don't like it, get over it. And there are times when I go to church. And I like to go to church because you know what, Christy? I don't have to do anything. It's great. But what I've noticed that they do, and I really like it, is there's a part in their service where they take ownership. And they say this, through my most grievous fault. Sometimes we just need to say, God, I'm going through what I'm going through, and I've got some blame in that. God's not saying, I want you to go and jump off the cliff because you messed up. What is he saying? Repent then. What does he want you to do? Repent. Turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. See, God doesn't want to just do a little touch-up job on your sin that you did, Bobby. He just wants to wipe the whole thing out. What does wiping out do? Enables him to remember it no more. So that your sins may be wiped out, so that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Why is it important? Because, see, God wants to send those times of refreshing. They can't come from anywhere else but Him. Times of restoration. What does it take to get there? God, I did it. God, it was me. I don't have some big magical altar call today, because this was like eating a T-bone steak. This was not a milk of the word message. This was a mature message that is going to take you some time to digest. Y'all stand to your feet. We do not have service this evening. We're anticipating some weather. There is a lot of food going to be back there. It's going to take us about 5 to 7 minutes to get it. And I'm going to pray right now over this word that was just put out. God, in Jesus' name, for every person under the sound of my voice right now, Lord, that has heard this word, God, I've put it out there under your inspiration, and I ask right now that you would plant it in there. God, that you'd water it, and God, that it would grow. Lord, I ask that you would help us live out this sermon. God, help us to live it out. Lord, if there's areas in our life where we need to own it, God, I ask that you would give us that wisdom to do so. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen.